So, started doing this new book. That's a new book, but it's new for us.
So, you've done this?
Yeah. Where were you? I've been around for a few classes. At least two.
Hanukkah.
Yeah, we don't learn on Hanukkah. It's but I told them that I'm not sure I'm going all the way through with this book. In the meantime, we're starting with this book. Could be another book I want to work with.
Is this ever?
This is called Sefer HaKashrus from Rav Fuchs.
Oh,
this
wonderful.
It's a great book.
You have it, yeah.
I said that only minus it has, he's strict in a lot of things, which a lot of poskim are lenient with. So people here said, so what? So he's strict, that's great, we'll learn strictness. But it's true, that's for your own house. But what happens when you go out and you go to other places? You have to know also lenience, and not say, oh no, I have to start with it. You know the. So I have another book which I want to work with, which is more middle.
So what is he strict about?
We'll see. We'll see all kinds of little things.
Things to do with kashrut, which is worth being.
Yeah, we learned about that. Also.
You keep in mind that you are what you eat.
Yeah, we said that also.
So it's worth being.
Yeah. Okay, so right now we're just...
A person, though.
Yeah, he was here. He gave a shiur. Yeah,
where?
Last year. Last winter. So anyways... The introduction is, he brings, first of all, before we start learning anything about kashrus, we have to learn the terms. Yeah, we learned about bitul beroy, bitul 1/60, bitul bemea, bitul bematayim, something which is not mevotel, never mevotel. We learned about what's oitzal bezdin, which is about shmita coming up next year. Yeah, and yisul chalal yisul, all kinds of terms we learned already. We clean out with terms. Now we're going to talk about Bishuli Goyim. Yeah? Also, I know that this slide is very, very common. Especially if you go to a restaurant or a hotel or something like that. It's very common. And also, there's a big machlok between Ashkenazim and Sfadim, Shukhanoch and Ramah. Big machlok is about Bishuli Goyim. The Ramah is much more lenient. We'll see in a second. Chachamim, Asru, Ma'achash, and Bashel Adde Goy. Ben Shebishlu, Beto, Ben Bet Israel, Bekilab Shal Israel. Right, Chazal, they said that we can't eat ma'achalim from goy, the goy cooked, foods that goy cooked, regardless if it was in my house, in his house, kosher foods, kosher vessels, doesn't make a difference. There's two reasons. First reason, because he might put in there something which is not kosher, which also is very common. Mm-hmm. They found just now, my wife told me, she heard a friend told that, in this hall that had like a good hersher. Mm-hmm. And the Arab I was working there used to bring a not kosher chicken in there.
Oh, Argaman.
I don't know what the name of the place. Argaman
lost its hechsher because they brought in chickens without hechsher from Arab villages.
The Arab villages. And the Mashgiach caught it.
That's good that he caught it.
Yeah, but the problem is that it wasn't the problem of the Arab, it was the problem of the owner of the place.
Who was Jew.
Yeah, he... I don't know if he Chatchila wanted it, but he for sure helped it out. He caught, the Mashgiach caught not the Arab, he caught the Jew hiding it. So.
Hiding it?
Yeah. Bringing it in, you know.
I mean, how can you hide it if you're supposed to be taping up the freezers?
Well, they don't tape up the freezers. They give you permission to go in.
Oh, it depends. You know, Avalut is permission, but he also had Benin Zion, and I think it was the Benin Zion Mashgiach, so they thought they'd caught him.
Mm-hmm. So,
see him do something.
Yeah.
Same thing happened with something similar happened with Echal Shlomo a few years ago. But they caught in the middle of a wedding while they were dishing out the food.
So the first thing is, the first reason we said is that he might give you not kosher food in it. The second reason is that when you eat together with a goy, in the karev tadat. Mm-hmm. We don't want to intermarriage and stuff like that. Which now is the story also of Tzareinu with all these. Unfortunately, everyone knows that a lot of Jewish women they marry Arabs here, unfortunately.
In the United States. There's 78% intermarriage.
Yeah, okay, what's considered cooking?
There's another reason.
What's considered cooking? Cooking is either frying, roasting, baking, or cooking, of course, and in a pot. But if something is a pickle or stuff like that, Right? Pickle or smoked is not considered cooking halachically. Therefore, even if it was done by a guy, 100% by a guy, there's no bishlakum and such stuff like that. Okay. There's a few conditions. When we're talking about bishlakum, two things that have to be fulfilled, and only then it's considered bishlakum. First thing, if it's telling you that you can eat it raw, so there's no bishlakum if it's cooked. Like a cup of water. If you drink water, they don't have to cook it in most countries. Right? So therefore, if a goy served you a cup of tea, no bishlakum. That's for one reason. Also like a carrot or stuff like that, which you can eat raw. If it's cooked, there's no bishlakum. If it's something you cannot eat raw, potatoes, stuff like that, bishlakum. Meat, right? Fish, I don't know. Some of you really eat fish raw, no?
Sushi.
Yeah, it depends. Certain fish, maybe. Yeah. Salmon, right? Salmon they put in there, right? Yeah.
But don't you have to be concerned about worms in the fish?
Yeah. It depends where it comes from.
Depends on the fish.
It comes from.
Yeah, all fish can have worms. But ocean fish, there's more possibilities. Certain types of worms that aren't in river fish, but in both of them, you have to be careful of worms.
We don't know how to check them unless you have a light box. So it's very hard to. Let's see.
Light box with fish?
Huh? You could check if there's worms if you have a light box.
Also, there's a major problem with fraud when it comes to fish in restaurants.
So what? Fraud?
Fraud.
What that?
Because what happens is they claim it's salmon, and it could be something else.
Okay.
Oh. Also, another problem, why would it have to have some skin with scales on the fish?
Yeah, we'll talk about fish in a moment. The next paragraph here is about fish.
Because some fish can be very easily mistaken.
Yeah, some have talk about fish. But first, talk about bishul akum. En esar mishum bishul goyim, ela ma'achal ha'olah ha'shukha melachim, ha'ma'achalim pshutim mutarim. This is a very important to know this. Only food which goes on the table of kings, that's the Hagdara in Chazal, there's bishul akum in it. If it's something which doesn't go on the table of kings, there's no bishul akum. What's considered?
You mean our regular food? Is there?
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. Jam? I don't know.
Also, they're kings eat pizza and who would
have. Yeah, it's hard to say. Something. Maybe Alves, I don't know.
Who doesn't work has any importance?
Yeah. I think like hummus and stuff like that. I don't know how important that is.
When you consider what in those days what the poor people eat as opposed to what the wealthy people ate, people ate what, extremely simple.
Today
the average person eats what in those days the kings were eating. The poor people were eating.
The Gemara there brings Kigon Dagim Ktanim. The point is how important it is or not important. What's the gedel? It doesn't mean the gedel here. He even doesn't mean the gedel. Maybe in the book he brings the gedel here. It doesn't mean the gedel. No idea.
I've heard at weddings. Weddings is the gedel.
What?
It's food that would be served at a wedding.
That's what you heard? Something that was served at a wedding, like something important.
That's
what? Chumus and mazbucha is also served at a wedding.
Yeah. No, that's. I'm talking about. You don't cook chumus and mazbucha. I'm saying things that are.
Cooked like for the meal.
Main meal.
Right, like hummus. Hummus is not considered something you're allowed to show malachim. Even mashed potatoes, not.
But they serve at a wedding.
Yeah, mashed potatoes are not.
Oh no.
Mashed potatoes.
Oh yes.
Oh yes.
Maybe
oh, yes.
With the avka in mayim chamim.
You serve mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I remember. No idea. I don't know the gather.
They'll probably explain it more in detail
maybe
later in the book.
Here he doesn't bring it. I look forward to
him.
Maybe in the back. I could also call him and ask him what he.
I have his phone number. I can ask him.
Yeah, put him here.
Yeah, too.
לא אסור אלא כשהגוי מתכוון לשם בישול. אבל אם הסיק את התנור לחמם את הבית או לייבש כלים, גם אם היה בתבשיל אדם את הגוי מצלע בשר מותר. Right? The issue of visual outcome is only if it's something that the guy meant to cook. But if the guy, there was a pot sitting on top of the oven, the guy turned on the fire, not the stove, let's say there's like a fire, like a fireplace, and there was a pot on it, and they cooked the food in there. The guy didn't mean to cook, there's no bishurakum in that.
Did you what?
Didn't mean to cook by turning on the fire. He was cold, he wanted to warm up the house, and they cooked the pot that was on the top of the... But there was meat in there, so it's not considered bishurakum. Yeah. And also, and this is the big kula where everyone goes in there. לא אסרו אלא כשכל הבישול נעשה על ידי גוי. אבל אם הייתה התחלת הבישול או סופו על ידי ישראל מותר. Right? The only issue is if it was all done by a guy from beginning to end, the cooking. רגע, רגע, רגע. Right? From beginning to end. But if part of the cooking was done by a Jew, then it's not considered bishulakum. What's considered part of the cooking done by a Jew? This is the machlok between the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch. According to the Ramah, it's enough for the Jew to turn on the fire. But if the fire was on already, let's say it's coals, they move around the coals, it's enough. According to Shulchan Aruch, you know, he has to put the pot on the fire.
And get it off.
Yeah, on and off, yeah. Okay.
Which means what? Which means he would have to actually make food, he'd actually have to put whatever it is in the oven?
No, it's enough. If it's an oven, he has to put it in the oven. Yeah, if it's a pot on the fire, take the pot and put it on the fire. Turn on the fire, take the pot and put it on.
What about stirring the pot?
If he didn't do that, so at least he's stirring the pot, you could put some stuff in it, fine. He's doing something in the cooking. Before it cooked. Yeah.
Right, that's what I would do. We had an assembly line, and I'd be stirring the pots and flipping over the flipping things over.
Part of the cooking. Part of the cooking you're doing. So that's bishurakum, all that. Now, what's dak taho and dak tameh? Fish, a kosher fish, not kosher fish. Right? The Torah says, what's a kosher fish? It has, I don't know how to say English, no, it's not pir, because guess it.
Scales, fins.
Fins and scales? Okay. Fins and scales. So what's the fins? Fins is what he swims with. Yeah. And scales is on the skin. Right? So, Chazal taught us that if there were scales, there were fins. 100%. Okay? Someone told me there's some fish that they take off the scale or something like that.
No,
but
it loses it.
It comes off.
There's a problem with swordfish, among others.
Mm-hmm. There's certain tuners or something they say that I have, I don't know exactly.
Also, it's fish with bones and not with cartilage skeleton.
Yeah, it has to have. There's a few other.
And that's one of the reasons why for this passive skin with the scales, because for instance, bacala fillet can be easily mixed up with squid legs.
What?
Zuot
tamnun?
Tamnun or dionun.
Yeah.
I can have an example. When I lived in Bnei Brak, I had a good friendly relationship with a fish wholesaler, frozen fish wholesaler. You could buy a whole box, you know. And he said once he opened the box to sell to a restaurant in Tel Aviv, and I says, how much are these? He said, it's 3 shekel a kilo. He says, how many more do you have of that shipment? I'll buy it all. Since when he's so hot on bacala for your restaurant, it's not bacala, it's squid legs. You sell me for 3, I can sell it for 9, 10 to each all the trade restaurants in India. Because the people, they didn't, since he was an expert in fish, seeing he wasn't able to tell the difference between squid legs, squid arms, and bacala fillet without the skin. But most people, including the Rabbi Rutka, didn't know the difference. That's why it's important to have the skin on it when you.
There's a few more simanim in the fish. It says here, Rosh Hachad Agol, a wide and round fist. The front of the fish is wide and round. Also, the difference between the head and the tail. And it has to have a amud shidra,
spinal column.
Okay, that. Yesh lo kravayim. There's the insides in there, so I guess some fish don't have the insides. And
stomach and so on.
Tochosh, he has air inside, like a balloon of air. Mm-hmm. So
guilt.
Okay. If not, zelo kasher. And a few other,
Chops and gills too.
Okay. Now, what is?
Skeleton have to be made out of bone and not cartilage.
What?
The skeleton should be bone and not cartilage.
For example, shark. Is cartilage.
Okay.
Shark is cartilage.
And not samus.
Ha'atamot im asui mis kulam miskus.
Zelo, eno ulo atamot.
That depends.
Chasa choluyot. Okay, another term which is called Dmai. Dmai is two words in Aramaic. Da, Mai. What is this? Yeah, what is this? What is it?
Mm-hmm.
Dmai is, here in Eretz Yisrael, fruits and vegetables, which you're not sure if they were meistered or if the guy who did the meister knew what he's doing. And you're supposed to take meister off of them without a bracha. Okay, that's Dmai. Okay. Blood in eggs. Blood in eggs, if it's red or black. It's a trait. But the difference if it's eggs which are from a male or a safna me'ala. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Every chicken chicken, right? Is it tanagolet?
Mm-hmm. Female chicken.
Female, yeah. Hen, chicken.
Hen. Every hen.
Hen is a female?
Right.
Hen. Ah, I didn't remember.
Hen is female, rooster is a male.
Ah, okay. So every hen could lay eggs. Doesn't need a male to lay eggs. It lays eggs. And those eggs are not...
not fertilized.
Not fertilized.
Right.
Not fertilized.
But if there's a male there also in the pen, so then it's fertilized and it's a deoraita. Hen?
How do you know if it's fertilized or not?
Everything they sell today is not fertilized.
Not fertilized?
Everything. Unless you buy organic somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Also, where you buy organic, it depends if they let them free to go or they don't let them free.
Free range.
Yeah. I buy organic, but I'm not sure. I don't know that.
Usually they're not fertilized.
Alright?
They're not fertilized.
Still, you're not allowed to eat the blood. Jose, for other reasons. That's all we check, right? Everyone checks the eggs. We were in Costa Rica. You won't believe what we found in the. You open an egg, there's almost a chicken already.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, it's horrible. You buy a tray of 30, maybe 5 are good.
If there's a drop of blood, you can just pour it out and eat the rest of the eggs.
Depending on where the blood is.
If the blood is on the yellow, you throw out the egg and you wash the cup well. If it's on the white, according to Ashkenazi, you throw out the egg and wash the cup. Well, according to Sephardim, you can take out the yellow.
If it's on the white, meaning like you make a hard-boiled egg, and you see the
white. Yeah, well, you open the egg and you examine it before you put it in the frying pan.
No, if you want to make a hard-boiled egg.
Oh, yeah. You open it up afterwards, and before you eat it, you cut it
open. So you make a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah.
Cook the egg while it's still in the shell, and then you see some red spot on the white.
According to Ashkenazim, we don't eat the egg. According to Sephardim, we can eat the yellow.
Even though it's cooked.
It's cooked blood. So, another term which is called Davar Kharif. Kharif means hot or
spicy
or sharp. Sharp is exactly the... Right? Because you want to see someone as Kharif, you say it's sharp, right?
Spicy
too. Yeah, right. But conscious wise, it could be spicy, it could be hot, it could be sharp. For example, garlic,
onions
before it's cooked. Mm-hmm. Onions before it's cooked, because garlic and onions once they're cooked, mm-hmm. they're not khalif anymore.
Chili peppers.
Yeah, tznon. What is tznon? Radish.
Radish.
Lemon. Lemon is khalif. A lot of acid. Acid. It's acidic.
Mm-hmm.
Chazeret, that's shrein.
Horseradish,
right. Dag maluach.
What about these things?
They're all considered kharif. Halachically, they're considered sharp.
So they can transfer the status.
We'll see in a second, right. Some say even if it's a very, very, very pickle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. בכוחם לבלוע טעם ולוע בסכין או בכלי לטובה לתוכם בשאר פנים. There's three ways that they can be... They can get the status of the knife that you're cutting with. For example, if you're cutting with a fleshing knife, it will be fleshing. If you cut an onion with a fleshing knife, the onion becomes fleshing. Now you can't take this onion unless you cut off a part of it and I don't know, put it with cheese and stuff, or butter, fried in butter. That's so.
When you say fleshing knife, you mean a knife that you use for fleshing, or you mean a knife that actually, like, is now has meat on it?
That you used for hot fleshing.
Even if it was a month ago.
Yeah. Because it's kharif. If it's not kharif, if you take fleshing knife, which is clean, you 24 hours you haven't used it. And you cut with that a tomato, so it's not fleshing, you can take that tomato and eat it together with cream cheese. And baya, chlad. Yeah? But if it's something kharif, it transfers. Okay?
Like if you make French onion soup, that's okay, onion and cheese.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right? Whatever. All the examples. Bishul. Right? Bisha, vaz niya dina kharif, in a kli. Fila kli no ben yomo, with nai, shah kharif, chai. Rabat alif bishul. If you do a. If you take these things, if you cook, for example, if you're cooking, you take this onion now, not onion, onion is not a good example. If you take something which the kharif food stays, the sharpness stays after the cooking, chili pepper, right? If it was fleshig and you put it now in a milchik pot, you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, if you take that chili pepper or anything, something not cooked, and you put it into a kli for likvoshetze, for pickling it, pickling, the kli gets the status also of what you cut. If it's something ceramic or something like that, it becomes flesh because milk is available.
It's especially difficult with glass.
Glass is not a problem. Why? Why isn't glass a problem?
Because the pickling absorbs the flavor into the glass, especially
the
when
glass?
It's really sharp.
To the glass? As far as I know, glass doesn't become no milchigs and no fleshig.
Doesn't absorb.
The only chumr we have by glass is by Ashkenazim on Pesach, that we don't use glass that we use for chametz. It's only a chumra. Glass doesn't absorb at all. Not fleshig, you shouldn't. According to the Ramah, especially, you should have separate kelim for everything just so you don't get confused.
We do.
Yeah, but if you took now glass that I ate chicken with, I roast the chicken in a glass, in the oven, it's boiling hot, I clean it really well, I don't use it. And then it's kosher, don't do it. It's kosher, you put milk in there, and now you cook something there.
24 hours later.
Okay, 24 hours.
You have to wash and put three times in water.
Yeah, you clean it, you wash it, everything. Nothing left. It's clean. It's glass. Right? Take a glass, and you drink, I don't know if there's any hot fleshy drink. So hot soup in it, glass, and then you can make a coffee in it after 24 hours and wash it.
For glass, I'm thinking like Pyrex.
Pyrex is different.
That's
Pyrex!
Pyrex is different. It's a different story than
because
regular glass.
Glass containers are normally Pyrex, aren't they?
They are. Only
not all. Not all.
The Dulex and I don't know, all kinds of things.
You want the Pyrex, Aqua.
What are they? What's the story? Then they do absorb?
Then,
yeah.
Going to all the questions?
I'm
sorry, Doc is there.
Because the messenger.
Because Master is a Miuchad. I'm not missing, but the hot, the talk of a.
Rishman, but Shaz is Sukhit, what's the name?
But you, the Sukhit, you bought me Matehid.
כל זכוכית מובאת ממתכת, עם כמות
קטנה. והוא סופג.
כל זכוכית מובאת ממתכת, אבל.
לא.
כי יש כמות קטנה.
לא. לא כל זכוכית. זכוכית רגיל זה רק חול.
זה סיליקון, הוא אמר לנו אותם, אנחנו.
חול זה סיליקון.
סיליקון זה סיליקון.
חול זה סיליקון. חול זה סיליקון, סיליקון זה לא מתכת.
אני צריך לשאול על זה. על ה... אני אשאל אותם, דיולי לעניין, דיולי לתת.
You were saying hot,
sand is
cold does not transfer?
Hmm?
Cold does not transfer?
Cold does transfer within 24 hours. After 24
hot transfer,
hours.
Do you understand that?
To what?
Cold does not transfer?
To where? What?
Have a
to what?
Piece of meat, and I'm going to use a...
No, it doesn't transfer.
A milk egg, a knife to cut it.
Halakhically, don't do that, but halakhically, it's kosher. If you did it, it's kosher. If it's not Talif and it's cold, of course.
But if you have it, if you have meat on a dairy knife for more than 24 hours.
No, that's already. More than 24 hours is considered it was together with it. It's a trend.
Right.
Just the cut, you said. Okay.
So the tomahawk, the fish, don't cut through this fish.
So Palestinian oysters are not recommended? Well, it's a mythical creature anyway. Palestinians.
Listen to this. If you cut a lemon, is considered khalif with a milchig knife, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can't take that lemon, unless you want to drink a tea after the Palestinian meal, you can't. With lemon. Tea with lemon, with that lemon, you can't. Why? Because that lemon is milchig. It's considered milchig. It's like, it's as if you cooked it together with milk.
Wow.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you cook lemon with dairy, you make.
If you cut a lemon with a dairy knife, you cannot squeeze that lemon into a cup now after a fleshing meal and drink that. You cannot take that lemon and squeeze it over a salad if you eat together with your meat meal. Because that's a milchig lemon. Milchig lemon is a new term we have. Okay, Nehemia. Okay, right there. There's a thing called hak'ala. Anything which was it absorbed trape to it, right? Milk and meat, or not kosher food, or if it was cooked with on Shabbos. Let's say someone has a child who doesn't keep Shabbos yet, and he comes to the house, and the parents weren't there, and he cooked, made himself an egg on Shabbos. Now, kalim are not kosher anymore. Hak'ala.
Also, a metal pot or pan was made by goyim. It's likely to have been processed using pig meat,
big fat,
ladling.
Therefore, lechatchila, you should also do agala. It's very simple. Do agala. What do you do agala? You take a pot of water, a pot. You boil water, and let's say you have I had a spatula in my house, which we got confused, and we used it for flipping schnitzel or something. It was milchig. I called the Rav, I want to know exactly what I must do. Because the food is kosher, the pot is kosher, but the spatula is not kosher. So what do I do with it? He said, boil a pot of water, let it to the bubbles, and take the part which touched the meat part, the meat, right, where it was hot. And once it's boiling, you put it inside you let it till it boils, take it out. According to Ashkenazi, you rinse it right away with cold water. It's fine, you don't have to do that. Yeah, it's kosher again. What happens with the pot? Pot is no problem, because we know there's a klal in Agalat Kelim. A pot, the kafarit lebali, where the time when it's busy to give out, when it's bubbling, it takes out everything. It cannot absorb at that time. And that's a rule also when we go out to teach others and go to all kinds of places and Christians are afraid like the influence. If he's always busy with giving others and talking to others and giving. He doesn't have time to absorb all the bad. So the Baruch Hu protects him. Yes, halacha we learn from.
But you have to be careful with Teflon coated pots.
Teflon, you can't. Teflon's
a disaster anyhow.
Exactly, that's why I bring it up.
Okay.
There's a coating. I think somebody mentioned the coating. There's a coating from the manufacturer on the. On the cereal, on the pans too, with a certain coating, non-kosher coating. That's what someone said.
He said if it's not kosher, if it's made from chutzlar, it's a lot of. Sometimes they put that on.
Okay.
Why do you think the aluminum foil has to have a hechsher? Because they put some
pig fat.
Put fat on it, so it should be kosher fat. Okay.
They don't use kosher fat. They use pig fat.
Why?
Makes the pot shiny or the pans more.
It's used for manufacturing.
So, when it's being polished to smooth down the steel in the lathe or whatever to smooth it out, they need a fat that will hold up under high pressure and heat. Uh-huh. And pig fat works best.
So what you have to do? What you have to do is either bring it to Dushinsky every Erev Shabbos Mevarchim, and Dushinsky, you can do Agalat Kelim there if you have a big pot.
Mm-hmm.
If you have something small, you can do it in your house also. Even if you have something big, you can do it in your house. You fill it up with water till the top, and let it boil. You have to have a stone. You put the stone on the gas, boil it really, really, really hot. Take it now with your hands, okay, and put it inside the boiling water, and it spills all over, overflow. That's kosher, okay. Every pot which has a problem with head kashrus, you do that also. What are you saying?
One time.
What?
So you take it to the mikveh.
Not to the mikveh.
Oh, this is before the
mikveh. Mikveh is something else. Afterward, you take it to the mikveh. If it's a new pot.
Afterwards, okay.
After you do the agalat kelim. If it's a pot from Eretz Yisrael, like sultan and stuff like that.
So you heat it.
Sultan is afterwards, not just anymore.
Only if, it used to be. When I got to over 10
sultan is now made in either Italy or China.
They used to make it,
yep, Zolna House factories Italy and China now.
To see, it says usually if it's Tzeret Yisrael, it says Mitzav Yisrael.
Yeah. So, if you see PRC at the bottom, it's made in China.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? You boil water as hot as you possibly can.
You peel off the pot and boil it. Okay? Fill it out with water, boil it. You have to take a stone.
Okay?
Stone, any stone that you find. Put it on the
gas.
Not
a river stone.
What's the difference between a river stone? We don't have river stones here.
In the river will explode if you put it on the fire.
Okay, you take a stone.
Yes.
You put it on the fire. Okay. While this is boiling, you boil it really. You heat it up really hot, the stone, so it's a mash hot. Then you take that and put it in the pot.
With the stone in the pot.
Take the stone, put it in the boiling water while it's boiling, and then it overflows.
And then it's the outside. Okay.
Yeah, of course. Okay. If you just want simply wait till Erev Shabbos Erev Shabbos Nevochim and Dushinsky outside, they do Agalat Kelim.
I don't understand the purpose of the stone. But
it's just that if you put a cold stone, it's just the water will get cold, a little cold, cooler, and then it's not enough for Agalat. You have to Agalat is from all everything all around the surrounding.
You see it boiling. You know it's hot.
Yeah, but it's not all around the pot. The pot has to be all in water. How are you going to get the pot in water?
You have a big pot, are you
going to
put another pot in there?
No, how do you have a big pot that you want to boil? You want to kasher. How do you kasher it?
Oh,
you have to boil the inside and the outside.
So either you take it to the place where they put the whole thing in.
Yeah.
And if you can't take it to the place, you don't have a place like that.
Yeah.
That's what you do what I said. And then.
Oh, because the water is going to go on the outside.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Are there any restrictions as to the stone? The size of the stone? Where it comes
No, it's just that enough. It's enough to.
Can't use a pebble.
You can use a brick.
A brick is great. Okay?
Is there any companies who make pots that use also the same this time kosher fat?
I don't think so.
Well, didn't you ask the question?
הוא שאל אם יש בארץ, אם בארץ מייצרים בארץ גם מורחים את זה עם שומן שקורא בהם.
Is it true that you can't leave it in too long, it goes back in. It has to be when you dip the stuff inside the hot water with this coating of fat on it, it has to be
quick.
A certain amount of time.
Yeah, because otherwise it cools off a little bit and then it absorbs again.
It only takes a second.
You take it in, take it out. Okay.
I mean, you do the same thing for Pesach.
The halacha that if you want to kasher anything, it has to be 24 hours not in use. Mm-hmm. Right? If something wasn't kosher, it has to be 24 hours not in use. Okay. Okay. Sometimes they have to switch the water after a certain amount. Okay, that's already not good. Let's do with us. Okay. Chom shayat soledet bo. Okay, top. We'll stop here. The halachot of. Kashrus.